I think the last few weeks they have had something like 33 runners for 11 winners with a strike rate that is quite incredible. And it is great to chat to Matthew de Kock this morning. They had another winner yesterday and they've got some nice runners over the weekend as well. Matthew, good morning. How are you?
Good on you, Michael. Thank you very much for having me on your show.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have a chat to you, especially when the stable is going so well. It's been remarkable the last few weeks. And I remember speaking to Robbie during the spring carnival and he said, look, we don't quite have the firepower during the spring, but we are going to set ourselves to be hitting the ground running on the back end of spring and throughout summer. And it has certainly come to fruition.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's been a fantastic start. I think the team's in real high spirits and hopefully we can keep the momentum going. You know, it's just been great.
How have you found the transition to Australian racing? You've been out here a few months now, and I suppose it's been a difficult year to try and move lock, stock and barrel to Australia with the COVID situation. How have you settled in?
Yeah, the move initially was difficult, like you say, because of COVID and the lockdowns, and we weren't able just to do the touristy kind of stuff like that. But with regards to business and work, it's been awesome. You know, Robbie and Shirani, great people. They've been very welcoming, and if it wasn't for them, probably would have packed up and gone home. But and then, you know, obviously working with Robbie has been a fantastic experience, and settling in has been fairly easy with that regard, because I've been lucky enough and fortunate enough to have done a lot of traveling in my short life. So I've been able to adapt and settle into different places pretty easy. But it's been great. Been great having Robbie's experience to help me as well.
When did the seed first get planted in your mind? And your father, who we know is the champion South African trainer, who's trained more than 120 Group 1 winners, to establish a foothold in Australia and move to Melbourne?
Yeah, it was probably the middle of last year, 2019. We were having a couple of issues back home with staff and racing, and our future was looking a little uncertain there in South Africa. I mean, I love the country, but it obviously is not without its problems and political issues. So we decided to brainstorm and have a think about where we would like to go in the world, you know, if things were not going to work out in South Africa. Been many places, but one of the places we haven't really raced much in is Australia. So we decided to come and have a look around Victoria and New South Wales and try and decide where would be the best place to set up. You know, Australian racing, as you know, is an awesome industry, so powerful, and came across Cranbourne and Neil Bainbridge and felt like this is a world-class facility. You know, we've been lucky enough to see great facilities everywhere in the world, but Cranbourne would not be out of place anywhere in the world, you know.
How do you compare the calibre of horses between here and South Africa? I know a lot of Australian horses end up in South Africa through the sales. Your dad has been buying lots over the years. Where do you think the level is between Australia and South African racing?
Yeah, it's a good question, because we do a lot of cross-pollinating, for a better use of words. You know, we're buying horses here and racing them in South Africa, and some are racing very successfully and some are racing very average. And then we had one South African horse run and win a Group 1 year during the Spring Carnival, Yulong Prince. So It's a fascinating question, one which would be easier to answer if we could get more movement between the two countries. But in my own experience, Australia has got a lot more numbers in breeding and stronger bloodlines. So in general, they're breeding a much stronger horse. But our South African horses, the ones that are good and Group 1 quality, can definitely hold their own anywhere in the world. So interesting question, but I think it's pretty fair playing field once we reach the top level, you know.
And how much closer are we to getting some of that South African blood to join yourself and Robbie and maybe seeing a transfer of the Australian South African horses through your father and now what you've settled up here? Is as soon as the quarantine allows, that's what you'll be doing?
Yeah, well, there's obviously a big process, ongoing process with regards to the quarantine protocols, but we're obviously a lot closer now that we've set up a yard here with Robbie and we have all this international connections between Australia, South Africa, got a yard in England, a yard in Dubai. So, you know, what we can offer any clients or any horses is the opportunity to travel the world. And I think now that we've joined forces with Robbie, I think it's a fantastic setup. And hopefully we can see a lot of cross-pollinating, like I said before, with horses traveling between South Africa, Australia, Dubai, England. It'll be great.
You're only a young man, Matthew, but you've had a pretty amazing background, obviously learning from your father in South Africa, but I believe you've also spent time with Bob Baffert and also Aidan O'Brien, is that right?
I read that in the article, but I think that was a bit of a misquote, to be honest with you. I haven't spent time with them. I've just been around travelling and seen their horses working and raced against them, you know, in the Kentucky Derby and Breeders' Cup, and obviously in Dubai when they come over with their horses from America and Ireland. I haven't had the opportunity of working for them, but I've had the opportunity of racing against them and watching them train, you know.
Oh, sounded pretty good anyway. speaking of ability, I believe someone's told me that you're one of the best golfers going around in the racing fraternity. What are you off?
I play off a six now. I used to play off a scratch, but obviously then when I got
you
a day
play
job...
off scratch? Yeah. Did you think about trying to have a crack at being a pro golfer?
I actually did. During my schooling career, I've really focused on golf, and I got a scholarship to an American university. And so I had 9 months free between my schooling and the college starting. And that 9 months I spent working in the stables, and the bug bit me, and I decided not to pursue the golf, you know.
Have you had a hit with Robbie?
I had a hit with Robbie. We had a good couple of COVID lockdown tournaments. I managed to take his money on a few occasions, so yeah.
I was going to say, how would you describe Robbie as a golfer?
He's a much better trainer.
And what's the plan with yourself in the future? Obviously, things are going really well with the partnership with Robbie, but has your dad got plans to maybe expand and one day would you set up a stable here with your father maybe?
Those were the original plans, but obviously when we came here and Robbie offered us the partnership just made a lot more sense to us. So for now, I'm just very focused on the partnership, and my dad is really behind us. He's supporting us. So I don't have any other future plans than making this work. I think it's a great opportunity for me as a young person, and it's a wise decision, in my opinion.
Is the training similar? What Robbie does and what you see other Australian trainers here, their methods, is it very similar to what your dad has been doing back home?
Back home is quite different. We worked in a very heavy sand tracks. We don't spoil horses as much because we don't have those kind of facilities, and we don't do barrier trials, so we're a little harder on them in training. So it is different. But like I said, I've had the opportunity of traveling around the world and training on different tracks and different setups and seeing how things are done differently. So coming here wasn't such a big shock. So it is different, and it's been great to bring some difference to Robbie and to learn from Robbie, because obviously things are different here. So it's just been really good to have an open mind, both of us, and just improve each other's skill set, you know.
You and your partner, Monique, who you've travelled out with, wouldn't have been able to do much travelling during this COVID period. Is that on the plan now that the borders are starting to open up?
Yeah, unfortunately, we haven't been able to, but thank goodness the borders have opened up, and there's a couple of sales coming up, you know, in the Gold Coast and Sydney sales and things like that. So hopefully we can tie in a bit of work and vacation, because it's pretty busy right now. But then maybe towards the end of the season, we can start traveling around Australia. I'd love to see Australia. It's a beautiful country.
There's some lovely places to make some big announcements as well. Has Robbie been giving you any advice as to some locations in Australia where a proposal may occur? I believe there's a bit of pressure mounting.
There's a bit of pressure. I'm feeling it in my knees, you know, a bit of arthritis in my knees, struggling to get down there. It was Robbie's anniversary yesterday, 31 years, so he's a good example to me. He's got a lot of years on me, but hopefully 2021 will be Monique's lucky year. You know, she's a good person and a great partner, and I couldn't have done the trip without her, you know.
Well, you put it on record now publicly, so you backed yourself into a little bit of a corner now, Matthew. So we'll wait to see. Tell us about the weekend's runners. Gee, as I said, the stable is just airborne at the moment. You must be really proud of how things are going. And can you keep the flow running at Moonee Valley on Friday night?
Yeah, I think so. I think we've got a good few chances there. We've got LaPietra and Hasseltoft running in a mile. They're both in fantastic form. Robbie and ATV Syndicate and myself haven't decided if we're going to run both just yet, but both are winning chances, so hopefully whichever one runs will definitely be a winning chance. And then we've got Influential Girl. She ran second last time. She was a really small filly, so she just got beaten, a little photo finish there. Fortunately, didn't have a long neck, but she's in good form as well. So we've got a good few chances.
Absolutely. So you're going to run her on the Friday night, not at Pakenham on the Saturday, Influential Girl. And you've got Arsha Valley. Will it be going around on Friday night as well?
Yeah, he more than likely be running on Friday. He's won his last start as well, so he's in great form. He's looking good. So fortunately, we have a good few chances to keep the ball rolling.
Absolutely. You've got a couple tomorrow at Mornington. Anything for the punters to follow there? Robbie, when he comes on, he is a very good judge, so there's a bit of pressure on you to pinpoint your best for the weekend.
Yeah, well, I think our better runners are going to be at Mooney Valley. So I'll be focusing on La Pietra and Hasseltoff.
Yeah. All right, we like that. Got an SMS. What's the best horse you've seen from all your travels and the racing that you have witnessed?
Sure, that's an awesome question. I've been really lucky to see a lot of good ones. Probably American Pharaoh. I was lucky enough to... We had a runner that ran in the Kentucky Derby and then the Belmont Stakes, and it was the year that American Pharaoh won the Triple Crown. So I'll probably have to say it's him. And Frankel, sorry. When my time I spent in Newmarket, I saw Frankel going up the gallops there every morning, and that he was an awesome horse, actually.
Gee. If there's one race you'd like to win over here in Australia, what would it be?
Definitely the Melbourne Cup. You know, being an international person, we're always waking up early to watch that race, so that's definitely the number one on the list.
And is your dad waking up early to watch all your runners as well? Is he following your success and progress closely?
Yeah, he's following. He's very supportive. He's always on the phone and wishing us congratulations, so it's great.
Got a favourite track in Victoria as yet? You would have seen a few different tracks.
Yeah, lucky. That's been the great thing about the racing continuing is I've been able to do my travelling, you know, in the car and the float, going to each race courses and going as far as Wangaratta, and I really wanted to get out there and see all the race courses. Definitely as a spectator, Mooney Valley is amazing, you know, so I'm looking forward to going back there tomorrow night.
I've never been lucky enough to get to South Africa. How many tracks do you have in South Africa that you race on?
There'll be about 6 race courses. We don't have as many as Australia, but on each racetrack they have like what you call an inside and an outside, and so they can split them up and, you know, share the load. But it's not as we race every day, but not in we race once a day in each state, so it's spread out, you know.
And how is the local scene? Have things settled down, or is there still, I suppose, you know, some cloud over the racing and general life over there?
Unfortunately, it is on a bit of a knife edge at the moment, but we seem to have a good team trying to bring racing back to its good old days, and hopefully they can do that.
What would the average prize money be in South Africa for a race?
Probably between $5,000 to $10,000, you know, from a maiden to a high-end handicap, $5,000 to $10,000, and then a grade one would be about $100,000 on average.
It's pretty pretty low when you compare it to Australian racing.
Yeah.
It would be hard to sustain an ownership or a training career over there, wouldn't it, with that type of prize money?
Yeah, it is difficult. It's not a great model, but luckily, unfortunately enough, the expenses are low as well. You know, the training expenses, to keep horse in training will cost you $1,000 a month. So it's all pretty relative.
Well, there you go. Hey, Matt, it's been great to catch up. I look forward to meeting you in person when we can finally all get back to the track, which hopefully will be sooner rather than later. Good luck with your partner, Monique, and the impending proposal and the runners on the weekend.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you for having me on, Michael.
Matthew de Kock.